So, we are now on week 6 on the issues of women in Kriyas HaTorah. We've talked about what Kriyas HaTorah is, the brachos on Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kriya Institution, and so on, and then we applied that to the case of women and asked how a woman could make a bracha and have everybody fulfill their obligation. Is she lane for someone who is fulfilling his bracha, who is getting the aliyah? We talked about all sorts of different ways to look at the relationship between the ole and the tzibur and shamaya ka'one and arevus and so on. So at this point, we now need to move further with the question of the question of kavod tzibur fundamentally, because after all is said and done, we do have a brisa that says that women can be ola leminyan shiva, they can count for the 7. It's brought as halacha and shulchan aruch, and then it says, but we don't do this because of kavod tzibur. So we need to understand what exactly that means. How do I look at kavod tzibur? What does it mean? Where does it apply? Where does it not apply? Why does it appear in certain sources and not in other sources? There's a lot to say. We're not doing all this in 1 week. We're just starting on the topic, and it'll play out. But if you take a look at your sheets, the first source is that brisa that gives us so much trouble. Quoted in the Gemara in Megillah, Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Olu Leminyan Shiva, Vafilu Katan, Vafilu Isha. Women count for the 7, as do minors. We assume Minyan Shiva means any of the 7 aliyos, although we have discussed whether that's really true. Maybe they can't be all 7, maybe they can't have the first and the last in the days when there's just a bracha on the first and the last. Aval Amru Chachamim, Isha Lo Tikra V'Tar, but the Chachamim said a woman should not read from the Torah because of Kavod Tzibur. Now, the question here is how do I take Kavod Tzibur? But there's also another point. Take a look at the Rambam in source base. This is a tshuva of the Rambam. She'ela. He's asked the following question. Al devar kriyas haTorah b'chol yom im ein lahem sefer Torah. Regarding kriyas haTorah every day in a place where there is no Torah. So could I use a chumash, make a bracha before the aliyah, make a bracha after the aliyah? Oh, yimnu ulakriya kolik, or should they not lean at all? V'chein b'sefer Torah she'no asay ki helchaso, or if you have a Torah that is simply not made halachically, so it's complete, but it's not halachic, for whatever reason, something was done wrong. Oh, sifrei Torah shal klaf she'inu me'ubadin lishman. He says you have a Torah that's written on klaf, the klaf was worked, but it wasn't worked lishma. She'in vaday psulin. So, imutu levarech hakarei bahem imasur levarech. Can you make a bracha on such an aliyah? Tshuva. Mutter levarech, he says you can make the bracha. Ve'ein habracha al hakriya b'sefer. He says the bracha is not on reading from the Sefer Torah. I then skip a section of the tshuva. And he says, v'raya ledavarza. He says, I'll prove it to you. Haidam rinan ein kari v'chumash and v'nei kavarat zibur. Later on, we're going to see that we say you can't lean out of a chumash because of kavod tzibur. So the Rambam writes, v'chiyesh ba'olam paslanus k'mo paslanus chumash. He says, is there anything less eligible for kriyas haTorah than a chumash? Right? It's meaning, as opposed to, let's say, a Sefer Torah that wasn't worked properly. Right? You know, it's a Sefer Torah that wasn't worked properly. So if you have that, so at least it's a Sefer Torah. But a chumash? What in the world is going to be as possible for Kriyas HaTorah as a chumash will be? So why did they say it was kavod tzibur? Right? In other words, if the reason why you can't make a bracha on it, the reason why you can't lane with a chumash, if the reason for that is because it's a chumash, then that's what you should have said. You shouldn't have said kavod tzibur. That's the reason they should have given. V'im tomer shekriya zu below bracha, and if you'll tell me that what they meant was you can lane and just don't make a bracha on it, so they weren't entertaining the bracha discussion, then lamanamra, then why did you bother to tell me this at all? Why did you bother to tell me you're allowed to read from that? V'chiyesh ba'olam mishal al daido less or kriya below bracha v'afilu al peh. He says, who's going to prohibit a person from reading psukim without a bracha? I can read it from a chumash. He said, I could even do a Baal Peh. That's actually its own discussion. Are you allowed to quote psukim Baal Peh? The Rambam here seems to say that it's fine. the sea says that can't be. Elavad eshelo amru bitzibur ela al kriya shachayavim lekrosa bitzibur shem shiva oshlosha. So he says this quote that we're talking about here, Ein Chorin B'chumashim Bnei Kavod HaTzibur, is talking about real Kriyas HaTorah. Either three Elios or seven Elios, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning, whatever. V'kayotze b'hem, hu she'ein Chorin B'chumashim Bnei Kavod HaTzibur. He says, that's when we're saying you can't use the Chumash. Lo Mipnei Shabracha Levatala. And not because it's a Bracha Levatala. You follow? That's what the Rambam is saying there. He says, when you mention Kavod HaTzibur, what you're really saying is, there are no other issues. My only issue is Kavod HaTzibur. So, Rabbi Mendel Shapiro, who is the one who wrote one of the major articles in favor of women and aliyahs, it's called, I have it here, Kriyas HaTorah by Women, a Halakhic Analysis. Quoting it does not mean agreeing with it, but I'm telling you what he says. He looks at that and he says, this Brisa is telling me that everybody counts for the Minyan Shiva, if not for Kavod HaTzibur. That means all the other issues that we spent the last 5 weeks on can be resolved. Because otherwise they wouldn't have said Kavod HaTzibur as the problem. But everything else is not an issue.
Everything else is the clock. All we're talking about here is the Sefer Torah.
He's using the Rambam's logic. The Rambam's logic that he used on Sefer Torah, I'm now going to borrow for Aliyos. And say that just like the Rambam said when it came to landing out of a Chumash, mentioning Kavod HaTzibur means you don't have a problem with Bracha Levatala, so too, mentioning that women can't get the Aliyah because it's Kavod HaTzibur tells me that all my Shomea Kaone and Arevus and Arechayev and Kriyas HaTorah and all that has no relevance. Because otherwise they wouldn't have said Kavod HaTzibur. It's a logical argument, but he makes it stronger by quoting the Rambam making that argument. It's one thing for me to use it, it's another thing for the Rambam to use it. That's the idea that he expresses. Now, that doesn't really mean, even though he says that, it doesn't really mean that the halachic debate that we've been discussing is irrelevant. Because, as I just hinted at before, it still impacts the question of which aliyos can they have? And can you set it up in a world where there's a Baal Kriya, for example, which roles can they play? So it's not as though he has succeeded in dismissing the entire discussion. All he has proved is that there is some permutation of Kriyas HaTorah in which women would be able to get an aliyah if not for this Kavod HaTzibur concern. That's the idea. You follow? Okay. So the question then is, what do we do with the Tosefta? And what I mean by that is, we're going to see a Tosefta that's going to not say Kavod HaTzibur. So the question is going to be, so what is this? Meaning, we've seen the Brisa now. There is a variant edition of the Brisa, it appears, in the Haggadah Maamonios. If you take a look at Source Gimel. When the Rambam talks about Hakol Ola Minyan Shiva, right? So he says, Ein Likros Avadim Kenaanim Batorah Im Lo Lishvi'i. He says, an Eved Kenani can only get the seventh Aliyah. Kida Amrinun Lishvi'i Hakol Mashlimin, and so on. It is understood that Agos Maamonios, who's not the only one to say this, has a different edition. It's not Hakol Ola Minyan Shiva, but rather Hakol Mashlimin Lishvi'i. He has a different edition of this brisa that everybody counts as the seventh aliyah. And Mendel Shapiro has a discussion about why the seventh aliyah would be unique and different. But the Haggadah Maamonios doesn't say anything else here.
Why does this brisa have to be a replacement of the other one? Why can't they be two different places? Why are we assuming that it's either this one or that one?
Right. Why can't they both be both? I think we don't have the one that the Haggadah Maamonios is quoting anywhere else, and therefore that's the assumption, but I don't know offhand. I'd have to go take a look. And Shapiro has it on pages 20 and 21 of his article. He has a whole discussion about why Shvi'i would be, about what happens with the whole Kavod HaTzibur part of this. In other words, what's the issue of Kavod HaTzibur? It's the seventh aliyah per se. Right. Well, no, that's not true. Hakol Ola Minyan Shiva isn't the same thing as saying Hakol Mashlimin Lishvi'i. Yeah. One is saying, count for the seven. I have no reason to limit that to Shvi'i.
Yeah, that's why. So why should they? Why are they?
Just, they are so.
Hakol
Ola
Minyan Shiva has to include everything I need?
Yeah, that's the assumption.
Oh, okay.
That's the assumption. And keep in mind, Eved and Isha have the same status for mitzvahs like we talked about a few weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't the whole only relationship like the primary source to be present?
Hakol Oni Minyan Shiva was a primary source that women... Yes, yes.
So yep. That's not actually the Girsa.
Correct. It creates... Yes. I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's only the Hagos HaMadios and one other who has this Girsa. I'm blanking right now on who the other one is. The, if you want, I can give you a link for the Shapiro article. You can see it's pages 20 and 21 there. But the more serious issue is raised by Source Dalet. Source Dalet is the Tosefta. We have already seen elements of this. We saw Tosefta Yud Beis, but now you have to take a look at Yud Aleph. V'yom Tov Chamisha, right? Yom Tov, there are five Aliyos. Yom Kippurim, Shisha. Shabbos, Shiva. V'imratzu l'hosif al yosifu diber Rav Yishmael. No Hosafos on Yom Tov, no Hosafos on Shabbos, no Hosafos on Yom Kippur, nothing. Rabbi Akiva Omer, V'yom Tov Chamisha, V'yom Kippurim, Shiva, u'b'Shabbos, Shisha. V'imratzu l'hosif mosifin. So we saw that already at some point. We quoted this. Rabbi Akiva has a flipped order from Yom Kippur and Shabbos. If they want to add, they may add. The Hakol Olam Minyan Shiva Afilu Isha Afilu Katan Ein Mevien Es Ha'isha Likros L'Rabin. He says, everybody counts, including Isha, including Katan. Don't bring a woman to read publicly. It's not the same thing. He didn't mention Kavarat Tzibur. So the question is, what is he talking about?
Couldn't be the same thing?
Well then, why did he omit Kavarat Tzibur? Maybe that's what he means. Theoretically possible. But it's odd, and the Rishonim find it odd. The Rishonim look at this and say, why didn't he say Kavarat Tzibur? And they try to articulate explanations for it, which require that we read the next Tosefta. And the next Tosefta says, and again, we saw this the other week, Beis HaKnesses She'ein Lehem Misha Yikra, Ela Echad, if a shul only has one person who can lane, and again, Tosefta world, there is no separate Balkria. It's only the person who is Ola is the one who lanes. So Ela Echad, so Omed Vikari V'yoshev, Omed Vikari V'yoshev, Omed Vikari V'yoshev, he gets up, reads, sits down, gets up, reads, sits down, Afilu Shiva Pa'amim, even if it means seven times, which we then take in a modern day when there are brachas on every aliyah, to mean he's actually going to make the brachas on each aliyah. That's the position taken by the Tosefta. So why is it that the language is different? So four different approaches, which are really three, I suppose, to the different language. The first approach is the Or Zeruah. Take a look at source Hay. The Or Zeruah says that you have to read Yud Aleph and Yud Beis as one piece. That it's talking about a shul with one person who's getting the aliyos, and what it's saying is, you can't have a woman as your only reader. He says, the way to read it is, take a look at source Hay. Tanya b'tosefta de mechilten, right, the tosefta of our tosefta, hakol ol neminyan shiva, afilu katan, afilu isha, ein neminyan es isha likros l'rabim, b'nei ha'knesa she'ela mishi yikra ala echad, omeg v'kori v'yoshev, omeg v'kori v'yoshev, afilu shiva pa'amim. He says, what it's saying is, you don't bring a woman to read l'rabim in a shul where there's just one person getting all of the aliyos. That's the Or Zeruah. So that seems to be the problem. A woman could be Ola Laminyan Shiva. She can count for the seven, but she can't be the seven. That we're not willing to accept, which she hasn't explained why. But now it's a very. It seems to be a whole other idea. Rochelle Lieberman in his Tosefta Kipshuta takes the same approach. That the woman may not be the only reader. What do you do with Kavodat Tzibur then? He says that's a different source. That's a conflicting source. In other words, the Bryce and the Tosefta disagree. It's not the end of the world. It happens. So take a look at what he has here in source Vav. When we give it Rav Oseinu HaRishono Lamadati, Shabava Zu Devuka Labava Shala Achareha, She'ein Isha Ola Ela Minyan, right? This case is linked to the next case, that the woman... only counts towards the seven. Shekvar kara ish b'tara, when there's already a man leading. Ukadivri ha-me'iri, the me'iri in Megillah also has this. And in the footnote, he says, Baal or zeruah hanal shehivi es habavli shalanu yachad im abavashala halan. right? The Or HaZeruah brings our Bavli, as well as bringing the case from the Tosefta. Aval Pisha Bava Shalanu Nishnes Gam Bibavli Ve'in Darkam Shalishon V'Havi Minat Tosefta As HaBraisos HaMeforashos Bibavli Elam V'Yesham Chidush. The Or HaZeruah, he says, does something odd. He mentions the Braisa, and he mentions the Tosefta. And this is Roshal Lieberman's Ha'ara. He says, that's not what Rishonim do. If you have something in the Bavli, you don't bother to bring the Tosefta. If the Tosefta and the Braisa were saying the same thing, then the Or HaZeruah wouldn't have quoted both of them. The fact that he quotes both of them indicates that he believes that they're actually competing, that they aren't on the same page. That's the that's his Ha'ara. Similarly, Shapiro points out that the Yerushalmi disagrees, or seems to disagree. If you take a look at source Zion, the Yerushalmi in Megillah says, Rabbi Zera b'shem Rav Yirmiya, ha'eved ola leminyan shiva. He says an eved counts as far as one of the seven. Right, that's the Yerushalmi's statement. And it doesn't mention Kavodat Tzibur. So, why not? Either Kavodat Tzibur is about women specifically. That's one possibility. So Eved doesn't trigger a Kavodat Tzibur problem. Even though Eved and Isha have the same level of obligation for mitzvahs. No, let me unpack this a little bit. We're going to discuss, we're not there yet, what Kavodat Tzibur means. But you're probably aware that one of the main views on Kavodat Tzibur is to say that it's not within the dignity of the tzibur if those who are obligated in the mitzvah yield it to those who are not obligated in the mitzvah, the women. Well, if that's really your explanation of kavodat tzibur, that applies to eved also. The eved also not obligated in the mitzvah. So there are only two ways I can read this Yerushalmi. Either the Yerushalmi is disagreeing with that interpretation of kavodat tzibur and making it about women specifically and not just those who are not obligated in the mitzvah. Or, if you want to try plugging in over here and unplugging me, you can
just,
okay. That's one possibility. Alternatively, the Yerushalmi doesn't believe in Kavodat Tzibur as a factor. And in fact, Rav Yehuda Leib Graubart, who you may know of. No? Rav Yehuda Leib Graubart was a rabbi in Toronto in the first part of the 20th century and apparently was involved in the initial founding of the Eruv here. So he has a sefer called Chavalim Bani Imin. And in Chelek Aleph, Chavtes, he says, yeah, the Yerushalmi doesn't believe in the Kavodat Tzibur argument. So we have this possibility that, in fact, Kavodat Tzibur is one school. Josh, you're...
I think Tzibur is not your electricity.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So he has more to his name. But the point is that Kavodat Tzibur is not necessarily the universal view. That's an important point. From a Psak perspective, it is. But it's important to be aware that you could actually articulate this as having a Tosefta that disagrees, and a Yerushalmi that disagrees.
Well,
yeah.
This idea to, let's say, historical or academic, but is it possible that this statement is made beforehand, before, like, at the time they had Aliyahs and before they made the institution? Or B, if it's Yerushalmi, is it coming from somewhere else where a couple of people are different in different places?
Right, so that's a good question. I mean, we're seeing Kavodat Tzibur in a Braisa, which makes it contemporary to the Mishnah.
Right.
So that makes it fairly old.
Right.
The Yerushalmi source that we're looking at is Amoraim. So one would think they would.
Yeah, after the Gezeira.
Yeah, one would think so.
Uh-huh. But in terms of
the Tosefta would not be beholden.
Different places, or can you assume that they're all coming from?
That's a harder question.
Correct. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's,
how do you explain the Yerushalmi?
The
Yerushalmi doesn't mention women.
The Yerushalmi does not mention women, it mentions Eved.
Right.
Right? But it mentions Eved without mentioning Kavodat Tzibur. If Kavodat Tzibur is really about levels of obligation, then Eved and women should both trigger the Kavodat Tzibur issue. So the fact that it doesn't means either Kavodat Tzibur doesn't mean what you think it means. Kavodat Tzibur, in fact, is female-specific. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that the Yerushalmi doesn't accept the whole Kavodat Tzibur argument.
What's the argument?
It
doesn't say women at all, so maybe it doesn't even say women.
Well, no, because once I'm willing to accept an Eved, I would accept an Isha by default. Because they have the same status. The only reason I would distinguish is if I have a women-specific argument, such as we may see. Not today, we're not going to get to it today, but God willing, next time. we'll see the explanations, and we'll see what may be female specific, despite the fact that their obligations are on the same level as the Eved. But that's one approach. One approach to this is that Kavod HaTzibur, the Braisa articulated Kavod HaTzibur, the Tosefta doesn't believe in it. That's one possibility. Rav Yaakov Emden disagreed. Rav Yaakov Emden in his Ha'aros to Megillah Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, I brought it here for you in Ches, on that Braisa, V'lam Chachamim Isha Lo Sikra V'Tzibur B'nei Kavod HaTzibur, he says, Nira Dehainu Hecha De'Echshar. He says, when you say women shouldn't read Betzibur because of Kavod HaTzibur, that's where there's another possibility. So don't do this because you have other ways to do it. So Kavod HaTzibur dictates you take one of the other approaches instead of having the woman lean. Veresha, whereas the Resha where it says Hakol Olin, right, everybody counts, but the Leka Shiva, that's where you don't have seven. Dibiki'i Lemikri, I jumped a little bit. You don't have seven who are able to read. The Ika Isha Bekia, there is a woman who is eligible to read. In the ellipsis, I think all he said was among the ten who are there counting for the minion. That was the phrase that I omitted. But because I was retyping this, I wasn't retyping the whole thing. So, but he says, you don't have seven who are expert, you have a woman who's expert. Delo Sagi below Didam. So you aren't having Kriyas HaTorah unless you include her. So effectively, what that means is Rav Yaakov Emden is taking the exact opposite approach of the Or HaZeruah. The Or HaZeruah is saying that the way to understand this Tosefta that didn't mention Kavod HaTzibur is because the Tosefta is saying that in the event that it's only going to be women, don't do it. But otherwise, you can. The approach that Rav Yaakov Emden brings is the opposite. He's saying, where you only have one person who could read, that's where I will accept the woman. If the woman is the only one who can read, then she will be the one who will do the Echad Yoshev Bomeid and so on, getting all seven aliyos. You follow? So Rav Yaakov Emden has the opposite approach. The Chasdei David is a commentary to the Tosefta of David Pardo, not the one who was here. Different Rav David Pardo. But he says the answer is it's a difference between Lechatchila and Bidiyeved. If you take a look at source tests, Venira da'al kopanim also lo teirid. He says it appears, commenting on the Tosefta, where we said isha lo tikra. So he says she shouldn't read, but if she already got up for the aliyah, you don't have to kick her out. Utfei mashma hachim l'shana Tosefta shalafaneinu de'ein mevi'in esha isha likros. He says you see it from the language in the Tosefta. The language of the Tosefta, he says, is we don't bring her to read. Right?
Yeah.
Implying also ma'atzma also. So if she got up on her own, Gabbai was sleeping, I don't know. Then she went up already. However, eino elam b'nei kavod HaTzibur, because it's just as he's articulating it, an issue of kavod HaTzibur. So it's really lechatchila versus bidiyeved. That's his approach. Incidentally, it is worth noting, as I was going through Shapiro's article, he brings a couple of very interesting sort of proofs that it was looked at as a real possibility. The idea of having the women lane, you know, maybe even if it's just if they got up there. Like, there are other... He has some interesting points that we didn't see based on the Frimmer article that he adds in. So, for example, he has a ha'ara from the Birkei Yosef, right, of the Chida, saying that we have four aliyos on Rosh Chodesh. And the Torah says, why do we have four aliyos for Rosh Chodesh? Because women aren't doing malacha. Because remember, we say that normally you only have a fourth aliyah on a day when you can't do malacha, right? Chol HaMoed. So Rosh Chodesh, there's no Isser malacha. Yeah, but women, like the Tosfos says, right? Like Tosfos says, that Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov for women, and therefore they don't do malacha. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh, women will be available. So the Birkei Yosef, Chidah, and Reish Pei Bei Zayin sees that as proof of a female obligation in Kriyas HaTorah, because otherwise, why are you orienting your number of aliyos based on whether women are present or not? It was an interesting piece, that's all. Going back to the point about women in general and their relationship with the mitzvah. But
If he just kind of shows the chashivas of the day, nothing to do with the, you know, the fact that women don't work, because the Rosh Chodesh has some chashivas to it, then it's nothing that they should be allowed to get an aliyah.
Right, no, this doesn't impact on them getting an aliyah, but it does impact on their relationship with Kriyas HaTorah. In any case, what we have is a brisa that mentions Kavodat Zibur. The possibility from the Or Zeruah, depending on how you read the Or Zeruah, but the way that the Or Zeruah seems to say, and certainly the way that Tosefta Kipshuta takes it, that in fact we would say that there are competing sources among the Tanoim on this. Nonetheless, for our practical purposes, everybody quotes Kavodat Zibur. So even if it's not unanimous among the Tanoim, it's unanimous among the Poskim. So we have to deal with this. And the question is, how do I understand Kavodat Zibur? So before we talk about Kavodat Zibur for women's aliyos, we need to talk about Kavodat Zibur in general. What does Kavodat Zibur mean? Right, like when we did our shiurim a while back on Hefsed Merubah, so we had to find out what Hefsed Merubah meant. Where did it come from? What is it about? Where does this? What is this idea of Kavodat Zibur? So the Frimmers in their article make two interesting points. One comes from source Yud. From the Pachad Yitzhak Lampronti. You're familiar, of course, with the Pachad Yitzhak of Rav Huttner, but before I ever saw that, I saw the Pachad Yitzhak of Rav Yitzhak Lampronti, and it's an awesome sefer. Very worthwhile to spend time on. It's basically, if you ever learn Stechemet, so it's sort of Stechemet-ish, but I think he's before him. I think he's before the Stechemet, in which he takes all of everything and just puts it into Encyclopedia of Torah. That's more or less what it is. I forget how many volumes this is, like a dozen or more volumes. Very, very Kedai. He's 19th century. I just don't remember if he's late or mid. He's Italian, of course, like the name Lampronti sounds. And look at what he has to say under the heading of Tzibur Ukavodo. The Kavod Tzibur Gufei Yalfinon Mi Yisro. Shochiach Lamoshe Ba'omro Madua Atayoshel Levadecha V'cholam Nitzav Alecha. He says Kavod Tzibur itself as a concept, he says it learned from Yisro. Because Yisro rebukes Moshe. Why are you sitting alone and the whole nation is standing there? Huksha hadavar liYisrael. Yisrael had difficulty with this. Shayim zalzel bechvodan shal Yisrael. You're degrading the honor of Israel. Shara'o Yosheva kiso kemelech. He sees Moshe sitting there like a king. Well, Moshe, by the way, has the status of a melech. But nonetheless, Yisrael hadn't learned the Gemara on that. And Yisrael was upset. He sees Moshe sitting there like a king. V'chol Yisrael omdin. Kedam rikamri to b'mechilta. The Kudsha Brichu limeid das es ha'am lach lo kavod lakol. Second point, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the nation that you should give respect to the tzibur. Afilu me rabban shal neviim, even from the greatest of the neviim, meaning Moshe. What do you mean? Parshas Yisro. Hashem tells Moshe, Alei Eli Hahara, right? Come up to me. Come up the mountain. Or Alei El Hashem, different psukim, but he tells Moshe, come up to me. Right before the Aseres HaDibros, right before Matan Torah, he tells Moshe, go down. Right? He tells, go back to the nation. And Moshe is actually not up with Hashem at that point in time. So the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah it is Membe's base. The Pachad Yitzchak is paraphrasing here. He says, Hashem says, go down, and then you'll come up with Aharon. He equates Moshe's honor with that of the nation as though Moshe is one with everybody else. As though Moshe isn't the one who talks to Hashem all the time. And so the point that he's making is, the Medrash is making, and the Pachad Yitzchak is borrowing, is that there is a kavod of the tzibur, and you are not entitled to degrade that honor. Whether as seen in Yisro's rebuke to Moshe, which is accepted, or whether as seen at Matan Torah, when Hashem says to Moshe, be with everybody else, as though you are like everybody else. That's one interesting note, is just on the source for the idea that you have to be makbid for kavod hatzibur. The other piece that he brings that I thought was very interesting, and I think is very true, having seen the different sources on Kavod HaTzibur, comes from Ritzvi Reisman. Ritzvi Reisman wrote in this piece that I quote here, Kovetz Ha'aros Ubiyurim, which you can get online at the website haaros.com, haaros.com. It's from the year 5769. He has the following note in an article entitled Kavod HaTzibur v'Tircha D'Tzibura. That's his article. So he says, "Veneer beber advarim." He's going to give you an overview of Kavanat Tzibur, but he says, "Veneer beber advarim." It appears to explain this. Kila musag kavodat tzibur hamuzgar besugios hagemara pirushim shonim. He says, when you see Kavanat Tzibur show up in various sugios, as we are indeed going to see, so he says there are it admits of multiple explanations. And each one has a unique meaning. In other words, you can't present a unified explanation for the words kavodat tzibur that's going to apply to all cases. He says that's why every time kavodat tzibur shows up in the Gemara, in the margin, the Gilyon HaShas is going to list you all a bunch of other places that say kavodat tzibur. So he says that what Rabbi Kiva Eger is doing is lelamdenu, it's to teach us kilam roz shalashon echad lefanenu mipnei kavodat tzibur, that granted they use the same phrase of kavodat tzibur, zeu nusach klali, that he says is an overarching expression. Ulam ba'ofen miforat, but on a specific level, kol makom umakom ba'hagdara miyuchedes hamiyuchedes lo. Each one is unique and has its own definition. Umitoch kach nuchal adas emasai nemar tamzeh shal kavodat tzibur. And out of this, we can then get an understanding of where it says kavodat tzibur. In other words, once you stop trying to force all of them to fit into the same rubric, you're able to get a better understanding. You follow? Once you actually have an understanding, you don't have to make all of them fit into the same definition. It makes things a lot more clear. So I definitely cast my vote, as do the Frimmers, with Rav Reisman on this. How are we going to what? The Bryce, yeah, correct. But at least when you stop trying to explain women and aliyos with the same explanation as you used for why you're not supposed to roll the toe in public, yeah, you stop having to force explanations. Basically, that would be the idea. So the following two cases are cases in which the Gemara explicitly mentions Kavodat Tzibur. I brought you the Shulchan Aruch references instead of the original Gemaras, but I'll tell you for each one where in the Gemara it appears. The first one, in source Yud Beis here, is from a Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Talks about reading from an incomplete Sefer Torah, which we've already referenced in our discussion of the Rambam. In Kasvu Kol Chumash Levado, they wrote each chumash independently, afilu begalila kasefer Torah, even if it's on a scroll that you roll, like a Torah, ain korin bo, you can't read from it, adshu kol chamisha chumashim tfurim biyachad, you have to have all five chumashim stitched together. So that's from Gittin Samach Amud Aleph, and in Gittin they say, kavodat tzibur is your reasoning. The next one is regarding rolling the Torah b'tzibur, or uncovering the shulchan, uncovering the aron, Bitzibur, and this is first you see source Yud Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch, that's from Yuma Ayin Amud Aleph, and it says the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ein gol in Sefer Torah Bitzibur mibnei kavodat tzibur." You can't roll the Torah publicly out of kavodat tzibur. V'im ela Sefer Torah echad im tzvichim likros b'shnei inyanim. But if you only have one Torah and you have to read two different things, right? What do? It's Shabbos, Parshas, Zachor. And all you have is one Sefer Torah. You have to go from Tetzaveh to Kitetze, right? Or Vayikra to Kitetze, depending on if it's a leap year or not. So what are you going to do? Gol and Vietcha Kavodat Tzibur. So you roll it. What are you going to do? Kavodat Tzibur will have to be overridden by the fact that we need to do Kriyas HaTorah. You don't have other options. And the other option would be read out of a Chumash, but that's not as acceptable an option.
Would it Tzibur serve the right idea since we get from
So, I would call it at least asmachta. You know, the ideal is there. I would prefer to see it, you know, directly linked to a pasuk in a Mishnah, Gemara, Brisa, something, before I would actually call it a deoraisa as opposed to an asmachta. So that's in terms of rolling the Torah, and then the next one is from Sota Lamites Amud Beis. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ein shliach tzibur rashi lahavshit hateva b'tzibur kol zman shehem b'beis haknesses." that you're not allowed to uncover the teva. I've seen teva translated as the shulchan you read the Torah on. I've also seen it as the Aron Kodesh. So what you're getting is from the Ramah. Take a look, it's still in your Dalit in parentheses. This is the Ramah talking. Pirish Rashi, Shah Yerugilim Lahavi Sefer Torah, Bayis Acher Shimish Tameresbo. Rashi says there was a box that they kept the Sefer Torah in, and they would keep it in some other, he's literally house, but perhaps this just means another room, I don't know. For them to wait while you uncover and bring this is the problem. So yeah, that's where you're seeing that from. The explanations do vary. The concept, though, however you explain it, is that there's some kind of a holdup while you're taking care of things that really could have been taken care of at another time. That's really the point. And there's a deficiency, therefore, in Kavarat Tzibur. Those are the cases where the Gemara explicitly says this is a Kavarat Tzibur issue, plus the case of the woman. There are two more cases, excuse me, where we mention Kavarat Tzibur based on the Rishonim explaining a Mishnah in Megillah. The next source that you have here is the Mishnah in Megillah, source Tesvav. Mishnah says, Katan Kari Batara Umitargim. Okay, a kid can lane, a kid can do the tarjum that they used to do between psukim explaining Kriyas HaTorah in Aramaic. Aval Eino Pares Al Shema. But he can't do Paris al Shema, which is its own discussion in Brachos as to what Paris al Shema is, but it's some kind of an abbreviated Berchos Kriya Shema. Ve'eno over lefnei ateva. He's also not able to, in general, be the chazan. Ve'eno noseyas kapav. And he's also not allowed to duchen. That's the Mishnah in Megillah. So Rashi there, on eno noseyas kapav, that he can't duchen, in source Tezayin says, im kohen hu. Obviously, well, not so obviously. He can't dochen if he's a kohen. She'ein kavod shel tzibur lios kfufin lebir chasal, because he invokes kavod ha-tzibur. It's not a kavod for the tzibur that they should all have to literally be bent to his bracha. The Zorashi is the one who invokes kavod ha-tzibur. Similarly, and I thought I brought it on here, but I'm not seeing it right now. I don't know why I didn't bring it. Nonetheless, I will have to explain it outside.
Do you think the kufi is in the bent over so they don't look at him, or are you saying bent?
Right,
it's a metaphorical kind of thing.
I think it's a metaphor. I don't think he means it literally bent, like when you're standing there accepting the bracha from the chazan, even though that is the position, you know, in which people accept the bracha, apple pita. His arms are not long enough. That's interesting, but no, we don't literally stand under his arms when he does Birchas Kohen. Yeah, I think it's just metaphorical.
We don't want, who's a kid to go ahead and bless somebody who's 50 years old.
Right. I have to say that it's even more than that when you talk about the kid as a chazan. In other words, when you daven and you're saying words that are meaningful words that express the tzar of someone who has seen life, and it's some kid up there, you know, however beautiful his voice is, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
This is Berachas Kohanim.
Right, this is Berachas Kohanim. However, it's also brought, and this is what I'm getting to now, Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. I wanted to bring it on here. I don't know why I didn't. But it's in Nun Gimel Yud Gimel. And in Kuf Chaf Ches Yud Aleph, also based on this Mishnah, and Rashi on this same page in Megillah Chaf Dalet, but he says that also you can't have a kid in addition to duchening, you can't have him be chazen, and you can't have him serve as a bal kriya if his clothing is torn. Now that applies to an adult also. By an adult, you have an added issue of lo yerah b'chayr vas davar. With a kid, it's just kavodat tzibur to have a chazan with torn clothing. That's the issue. But we seem not to want him. I'm sorry, bal kriya with torn. Sorry, Let me restate. It is disqualifying him as being chazan in general. It's disqualifying him for doing these roles of duchening, chazan, or baal kriya when his clothing is torn. That's what it's talking about there. Really ought to have brought it up.
There's no chiyuv to daven from daven tefillah anyway, amida anyway. Why would we be able to fulfill our chiyuv of hearing besides the shas?
Correct. The answer would be it can't be talking about a Chazar Sashat part of the, it can't be talking about what he's being listened to you. Right. So here you have Rashi and all the Rishonim, but I mentioned Rashi specifically, saying that there's Kavarat Tzibur as a factor that underlies a psak that's found in the Gemara, but the Gemara didn't use the words Kavarat Tzibur. And then you have a third category of Kavarat Tzibur. And these are cases in which the Rishonim actually added things that don't appear in the Gemara, saying we are now innovating this because of Kavarat Tzibur. So one example comes up. If you take a look at Chaf Aleph, what I did here, I'm just trying to figure out what I did here. No, I'm sorry, not Chaf Aleph. Yeah, go back to Yud Zayin. Okay, all is good. In Yud Zayin, Hachas Megillah, Parak Beis Halacha Zayin. Kara Omedo Yoshev, this is what I'm reading Megillas Esther. So if the person who is laying Megillas Esther does so standing or sitting, Yatzah. He fulfills his obligation. Fafilu Bitzibur. And that's true, even if it's communal, he can be sitting down. Avalo Yikra Bitzibur Yoshev Lechatchila. Vimnei Kavarat Tzibur. But Lechatchila, he should not read sitting down because of Kavarat Tzibur, which is why we say, if you're reading for somebody in private, so you can sit down. But if you're reading for a Tzibur, defining Tzibur is not so simple. Is it minion? Is it group? How many is the group? But if you're reading for a group, then you're supposed to stand for Kavarat Tzibur. As I state the Rambam, that's the Rambam's position. It is also brought in the Meiri, in Megillah Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The funny thing is that the Gemara never said that. The Gemara says you could read the Megillah sitting or standing, it doesn't matter. So the Rambam is innovating this and saying it's Kavarat Tzibur. Without, you know, without any explicit mention anywhere else. So that's one example of Rishon saying, here's another case that also we're going to add, that's a Kavarat Tzibur issue. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Taf Reish Sadi Aleph. Another example of this is having a chazan who doesn't have a beard. If you take a look at Source Yud Ches, Tana Rabbanan, Braisa says, Nismale Zikano. Once someone's beard has become full, Roi Leyaso Shliach Tzibur. He can become Shliach Tzibur, he can duchen, he can do it all. That's what the Gemara says. Tosfos, though, Yud Tes, Nismali Zakano, Roi Leyaso Shliach Tzibur, Leyaso Shliach Tzibur, Tema. De Parakakarias Hamagila Amrinan, Katan Kari Vatora, Veino Paris Alshma, Velo Yore Lefnea Teva, Velo Nose Eskapov. Right? In Megillah, we said that a minor, while he could do Kriya Satara, can't be Yorei Lefnei Ateva, can't duchen. Mashma, the implication of that is, Hahevi Shte Saros, Yorei Lefnei Ateva, Venosei Eskapah. The implication is that once he has already reached the age of physical maturity, Shte Saros, he can already lead and he can already duchen. So based on Megillah, based on the Gemara in Megillah Chavdalid, right, which we saw, that based on a Mishnah that appeared in Source Tezvav, we said, once you reach adulthood, you're able to do these things. Based on Chulin Chavdalid, the Braisa there, you're telling me, no, not until you have a full beard. Which is it? Satosfo says, V'yesh lomar dikshehevi shtei saros yachol leri lefnei ateva. He says, I'm going to make a distinction here. The distinction between yori lefnei ateva and being the Shliach Tzibur, which implies something more kavua. He says, Kishhevi Beis Saros, Yachol Leir Lefnei Ateva. Once he's reached physical maturity, then he can be the Chazan once in a while. That's Yorei Lefnei Ateva. Whereas, Leyaso Shliach Tzibur Kavua, to be the Kavua Chazan, O Hispalo Betanios of Mamados, which are special occasions, Eino Nasa Ad Shis Male Zikano. That you have to have a beard for. Kedamrina Maseches Tanis, Emoridin Lefnei Ateva, Elazaki Garagiel, and so on. So the position of Tosfos is that you can be a chazan occasionally without a beard. You can't be the kavua chazan without the beard, right? So far, so good? Now look at the Rambam. Chaf. Umishlo nismali zikano. If he doesn't have a full beard, aval pishu chacham gadol, even though he's a real bona fide Talmud Chacham, lo yeshiach tzibur mipnei kavod tzibur. He introduces the phrase, which no one has used to this point. He introduces the idea of kavod tzibur. Aval parisu al shema after the shteis hours, like Tosfos had said.
Is it he can grow a beard or that he has a beard?
So the implication here is that he actually has to have one. I have seen some say he has to be of age where he would have one, but that doesn't sound like the language. One more case in which Rishonim introduce kavod tzibur is regarding women leaning Megillas Esther for men. The Shulchan Aruch writes, as you see in Source Chaf Aleph, V'yesh omrim sha'anoshim einon motzios es ha'anoshim. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, some say that women shouldn't lay in Megillah for men. What's the reason? They're chayiv just like we are, afein ha'yiboso anes. So why can't women lay in Megillah for men? Sorry? Is it kavod tzibur? Take a look at the Ritva. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sorry, I brought you the Mishnah Berurah on it. He quotes you all the views. V'yesh omrim, some say shahanashim ena motzios v'lo dami l'ner Chanukah. Unlike near Chanukah, where we would say that they are able to, d'sha'ani Megillah, d'havi kmo kriyas haTorah upsula mepnei kavod tzibur. He says Megillah is like kriyas haTorah, and therefore they can't lean for men because of kavod tzibur. We're porting it over from kriyas haTorah to Megillah. V'lachein, and therefore afilu l'yachid ena motzia mishum lo plug. Not only can they not do it for a tzibur, they can't even do it for an individual. But there's no kavod tzibur issue anymore if you're talking about an individual. Right? He's not a tzibur. Nonetheless, lo plug. The gum, but he says there is a second possibility. The efsher de isha in a chayev is bikriya, rak lishma. It could be a woman's obligation in Megillah is only to hear the Megillah read, not to read it aloud. Ukilut kameh, like the Shulchan Aruch is going to move on to discuss in terms of what bracha women would say on kriyas haMegillah, al mikra or lishma. And therefore, compared to the man, she is called not chayav in it. But she could lay it for another woman, because then they have the same level of chiyuv. The source that says that it's kavod tzibur is the Ritva Megillah Dalet Amud Beis. I didn't bother quoting it directly on the sheet, because you have it in the Mishnah Berurah. But the point is that what you're seeing here is that kavod tzibur exists within the Gemara for certain cases. Certain cases in the Gemara are explained by Rashi to be kavod tzibur. And then a third rank, kavod tzibur being used by Rishonim to add elements, to say that Megillah should be like kriyas haTorah, and therefore the woman can't lay it for men. To say that you have to stand while reading the Megillah, right? The chulin one about the chazm without the beard, I'm actually less confident in terms of putting it in this category. It really probably was in the previous category of items which are from the Gemara, because it's from chulin, and just the Rambam is the one who adds the phrase kavod tzibur to explain the phenomenon there. So maybe that belongs in the previous category. But the question fundamentally is, can you come up with a unified theory among all of these kavod tzibur phenomena? So I believe, based on what I'm seeing here, agreeing in part with both the Frimer article and the Shapiro article, but disagreeing somewhat, as we'll see, that actually kavod tzibur can be broken down into one of two categories. Some of the cases fit in one, some of the cases fit in the other. One category of kavod tzibur is showing disrespect to the community. That's one possibility. The other possibility is making the community look bad. In other words, diminishing their kavod. Not that you are acting disrespectfully to them, but you make them look bad to others. Those are two ways you can explain kavod tzibur. Both fit the words. Right? One is you're diminishing kavod tzibur by not giving kavod to the tzibur. The other is you are diminishing the global kavod of this tzibur because others are going to look at them and say, look at them, they don't deserve kavod. You follow? Those are the two different ways. You'll see it as it plays out among the different items. The first approach, showing disrespect to the community, fits with Rashi and Yuma and Rashi and Sota. right? Everybody here on the sheet. Rashi and Yuma, that was the one unrolling the Torah in public, says, they have to all sit there waiting and being silent while you roll the Torah, right? You could have rolled it before. You're making them wait. You are showing disrespect to them. Rashi and Sota on uncovering the Aron in public. If you take a look at Source Chavdavu, Lahavshad is a Teva Betzibur. So he explains the practice, which we already saw quoted in the Ramah, about how they brought in the Torah from somewhere else, right? And his point is that they all have to sit there, I'm not reading it inside, it's already 11:24. But you see there, the fact that you're going to make them wait shows that you don't respect them. That's one take. The other take is that you make the community look bad. So on the topic of a beardless chazan, or having a woman lane, if you take a look at Source Chav Hey, the Bach says, Ulefiani is daiti nira, da'af laharambam v'harashba, lo mahani mechilas tzibur. He's already talking about the issue of whether a community can forgive kavod tzibur, which we have to get to. But he says, you can't. Dein perush mipnei kavod tzibur shu keneged kavodam. He says, mipnei kavod tzibur isn't saying that it's something that would harm their honor, lefnei bnei adam, in the eyes of others, shetoa bo mechilas tzibur, such that they could forgive it. Ela perusho, she'ein ze kavod tzibur sheyishlechu lefanav yis'ale, mi she'ein lo hadras panim lohalitz ala tzibur. He says, the idea is for them to send someone who doesn't have a hadras panim, meaning a beard, it sounds like an actual beard, for them to not send someone with an actual beard to speak before Hashem shows that they don't properly respect what they're doing for God. We wouldn't send that to the king. You wouldn't send a kid. Even if he's really smart. He says, you can't do that, because the honor is really about what it says about Hashem. You're effectively making the community look bad before God. That's the idea. And the Levush in Aruch Chaim Reish Pei Beis Gimel says the same thing regarding the women laning. The same idea. That fits with the following source also. I didn't get what the Frimmers did with this piece. I can see if I can get this into 3 minutes. But take a look at the Ron, just the five-word thing. The Ron there is commenting on Gittin Samach Amud Aleph. Gittin Samach Amud Aleph was where we said you can't lean from a chumash. So when we say not to lean from a chumash, the Ron there, Chav Zayin in the base, B'dape Arif, says, Mipnei Kavod HaTzibur, Shenira Ka'ani. What does that mean to you? When the Ron says, Shenira Ka'ani, what does that mean? The community looks poor. Because they can't. No, this is talking about leaning from a chumash. They can't pay for a Torah. So it looks like you're saying the community is impoverished. That's the way I read it. In other words, I fit it onto the category of making the community look bad. That's the way I understand it. The Frimmers in their article on page 98 says, and I'm quoting now, that it makes the tzibur look lax about the fulfillment of basic communal mitzvot. It has money for everything else, but not for a whole sefer Torah. I don't think that's what the Ron is saying. The Mechilas Kavod Tarasim. He's saying that not that it makes them look poor, but it makes them look like they don't want to spend on it. The reason I'm making a point of this is because that would open up the idea that Kavod HaTzibur also applies to making people look lax about how they approach mitzvahs. The truth is, you already have it, I suppose, in the Bach anyway. The Bach is taking that approach. You look lax when you send a kid to daven for Hashem. It looks like you don't take it seriously. But I don't think that's what the Ron is saying here. I think what the Ron is saying is simply that it makes the community look impoverished, and that it makes them look bad in that sense. What we're going to have to do now, what we've seen today, to sum up in brief, is number one, we saw the concept of Kavod HaTzibur in the Braisa. We noted that by saying Kavanah Tzibur, it makes you seem to say the other issues are not issues or don't apply across the board. Kavanah Tzibur is an across the board problem. We noted that the Tosefta may not agree, depending on how I explained the fact that the Tosefta did not quote Kavanah Tzibur as an issue. We also saw the possibility that the Yerushalmi on the Eved either does not agree or sees Kavanah Tzibur as women specific, which we're going to have to come back to. And then in terms of what Kavanah Tzibur is, we saw the range of, first of all, we saw the Yisrael idea. We saw the range of sources, which seem to indicate that Kavanah Tzibur is not uniform, as indeed this Rav Tzvi Reisman argues. Kavanah Tzibur actually can be multiple things. It seems like we can group it into these two categories. A, it shows disrespect to the community. Somehow, what you are doing, you know, getting up as a chazan when you're torn clothing, rolling the Torah in public, that is showing disrespect. I don't respect the community. Or number two, making the community look undeserving of respect, such as when they would send a kid to Davin, or if they can't afford a Torah, something like that. You're diminishing the community's. You're saying the community isn't deserving of respect. Those are the two possibilities there. The next time, what we'll have to do, God willing, is talk about Kavanah Brios in the context of the women's aliyos, and whether Kavanah Brios is an absolute value. Could it be subjective? Is it Lechatchila B'diyeved? So that, God willing, we'll do next Friday. Sure.